This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I'm Katie McCowan, and I'm so glad that you are joining us today. We are in the middle of a series on the podcast this year on God's Word, on Scripture. And every time I say that, I know it sounds really, really big and broad, but I'm excited about the topics that we are covering as it pertains to God's Word. And hopefully, it will offer you something to help God's Word become more a part of your everyday life. Every time you approach a situation, every time you think a thought, God's Word is a part of it. And so I'm really excited about the conversation we're going to have on the podcast today. And the guest that we have with us, I want to welcome Alisa Pulliam to the show. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Katie. It's so good to be here.
I am so glad you're here and really looking forward to getting into the discussion we're going to have today. But before we do, let me go ahead and introduce you. And so those of you with a really sharp ear just heard me say two different names and you're already saying what just happened. So yes, our guest is named Alisa Pulliam, but you're going to hear me call her Lisa because she has confirmed that is what she prefers to be called. So from here on out, let's go with Lisa. But Lisa is the founder of moretobe.com, where she offers biblically based coaching and coach training for women, as well as in-person equine assisted coaching for women, families, and leadership teams. She is a certified life coach, coach trainer, and trauma-focused equine assisted coach. Lisa is also pursuing a master's in clinical counseling with a trauma focus at Eastern University. She's the host of the More to Be podcast, a sought-after speaker and author of numerous books and Bible studies, including Unblinded Faith, Gaining Spiritual Sight Through Believing God's Word, Meet the New You, a 21-day plan for embracing fresh attitudes and focused habits for real life change, and Impact Together, Biblical Mentoring Simplified. Lisa's joys include her relationship with God, her husband of nearly 25 years, therefore, entering into adulthood children and unrushed time with God, people, horses, and her beloved golden Toby. Lisa, wow, it's so great to have you. And I feel like I could just go line by line through what I just read and ask you questions because it's all so amazing and interesting. Let's start. Can we start with the horses, with the equine training? Because that's so interesting. And I believe I can say with certainty that you are the first guest that I've had on the show that has this thread of your ministry. So tell me more about this. How did you get into it? And I feel like you've probably learned a lot from it too.
Yes, yes. So I got into horses when I was a little girl from my very first pony ride. And then as a teenager, my uncle had horses and we used to go on trail rides with him. And I did summer camps and I rode when I was in college for a bit. And then it was nothing because my husband and I lived at a boarding school in New York for 18 years and there were no horses for me to ride anywhere. We moved to Pennsylvania about 7 years ago and we didn't know it at the time, but God like dropped us down in the middle of horse country.
Oh.
And yes, so my daughter started riding and then I became acquainted with a gal and was introduced to this natural lifemanship approach that integrates working with horses with coaching.
With the and life thought, coaching that you were already doing. Okay.
Yes. So I was already a life coach. And this was my dream to do this with horses one day, but like where on earth was I going to find an organization that would train me to do that? And lo and behold, God is just so gracious. So this organization that I was trained in was part virtual, part local. And the part of the training took place at a farm that's about 35 minutes away from where I live. And that is the very place that I'm actually working out of now, where they have given me access to horses and barn space and indoor heated space, which is for anybody in the horse world in the Northeast, that's a miracle.
Right. But yeah. I can also see how it could be so valuable.
So valuable. Yeah, to have a moment to warm up in between. Today it was 28 degrees. I literally was dressed for going skiing. That's how cold it is. And so I began that work with the training about 3 years ago. And in the last year, it has become a part of what I do. So I'm still coaching women online, you know, around the world, really thanks to the capabilities of the internet. And then I'm working with clients in person doing equine assisted coaching.
Wow. And so, you know, when you and I started talking about this podcast episode and the subject of God's word and scripture, and I kind of just left it out there for you, like, what in the world would you like to talk about? And one of the things that you said to me is that you'd love to talk about how scripture can inform the way we process our story. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm listening to you talk about life coaching and then this in-person coaching that you're doing with horses, I'm wondering if any of this ties together, if you've learned, if this is coming from some things that you've learned through these processes about how scripture can inform the way we process our story.
Yes, absolutely. So it's sort of a long answer. So I will do my best to make it succinct, but the context is this. I grew up in an emotionally and physically abusive family and didn't come to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior until I was in college. And from that point until I was in my 30s, essentially, I thought being a follower of Christ was all about just doing the right things. Mm-hmm. And so that meant at that point, I should read my Bible, I should pray, I should go to Bible study, I should do small group, I should stop cursing, I should stop, you know, being mean to people, whatever it was. Like, it was all these do's and don'ts. And then when I was in my 30s, had a really crisis sort of situation in which what was coming out of my mouth, as the scriptures say, out of the heart the mouth speaks, was really hurtful towards my children and to my husband. And even though I was not carrying on the physical abuse of my childhood, my tone was not in a good place. Mm-hmm. And so ended up in counseling and went through a long season of counseling in which God did a remarkable healing work in me with the support of a therapist who helped me understand what I was thinking and how to seek God's forgiveness and then start taking captive my thoughts and making them obedient to Christ, which 2 Corinthians 10:5 talks about that, and Romans 12:2 talks mm-hmm. about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So my thinking was starting to change mm-hmm. and my behavior for the most part started to change, but I was still hitting the wall. At certain habits, certain thought processes that I just wasn't acting or behaving in the way that I felt God wanted me to. And it didn't matter how many Bible studies I went to, how much scripture reading I did, how much therapy I went through. There was like this missing piece of the puzzle and I couldn't understand it. And so when I started working with horses again 3 years ago, the training I went through was trauma informed. And I was taught about the brain from a neurobiological perspective. And I would love to unpack that for you, but in the short version of it, I began to recognize that God didn't make us just spirit. He didn't make us just brain. He didn't make us just heart. He didn't make us just body. It's this integrated whole that's supposed to function together. Mm-hmm. In a way that is really holy before the Lord. And so that process made me take a step back and really start to notice things about how I was living and what I was feeling, what I was thinking that I had never considered before. And that has been where I feel like freedom has taken place in my life, and that the level of transformation that has taken place has been phenomenal. And so if I could unpack that a little more.
Mm-hmm. Let me, as I was listening, I wanted to just say two things that make me excited for the rest of this conversation. First, I'm just thrilled to hear your thank you for your transparency and for sharing that, because I know there is someone listening who has believed for a really long time that the Bible is a list of do's and don'ts. And she's coming to the Word of God so similarly to the way that you did in your young adult life, which is going, okay, the Bible says I'm supposed to do this and I'm not supposed to do that. And so far, that's the extent that of the work that the Bible has had in her life is, am I getting this right? It's a checklist for her. And what you have just explained is that it is not that. It is so much more than that. The words that I've heard you use are transformational, life-changing, and the list of do's and don'ts don't do that for us. The Word of God does that for us. So for that woman listening right now, here we go, right? Buckle up because it's about, we're about to learn something new. And the other word that I used you here, I heard you use, that's what I'm trying to say, was the word healed. You were healed. Mm-hmm. And I want to just read this verse that I actually read this morning. So I'm kind of excited, but it is Psalm 107:20. And it says this, He sent His word and healed them. He rescued them from their traps. And that just, to me, speaks so much to what I just heard you talk about. And it was almost even these traps that you didn't know were there because you had been healed so much and been rescued already from so much. But it was as you were coming to God's word and His word was ministering to you that you were healed and you were rescued. So I'm just so excited. But yes, continue to unpack where what you are just teaching us about.
Yeah. I love that verse because my Bible's open here, so I just flipped to it. And in the NLT translation, it says, He sent out His word and He healed them, snatching them from the door of death. Let them praise the Lord for His great love, for the wonderful things He has done for them. I mean, there's nothing truer in my life than that.
Amen.
So it's fantastic. So what I learned through the trauma-informed training is a very simple model by a psychologist, Bruce Perry, who talks about the way the brain is formed and the way it functions. And so when we experience any threat of harm, whether it be like what I went through, which is abuse, or it could just be like the threat of harm is somebody's not going to like me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be that simple. Our brain is designed by God to protect us. And so we go into a survival mode that looks like a fight, flight, faint, which people have heard, or fight, flight, freeze, which is familiar to people. But there's also faint, which is like total retreat, and fawn, which is faking it. And faking it is where I find most Christian women hang out. Mm-hmm. I'm fine. It's fine. We're fine. Mm-hmm. But nobody's fine. So this is where we could end up living in what was meant to be a state for protection becomes a trait for survival.
Mm-hmm.
And the next,
let me just pause and say that again. What was meant to be a state of protection.
Yes.
Becomes a
trait
of survival.
Yeah.
Wow.
And yeah, it's really profound when you think about it from a biblical perspective, and God is telling us to renew our minds because this is happening in the brain, but it's also happening in the body. And so the next layer up, there's these four layers. This is a very simplified version. The next layer up is the diacephalon, which is movement and senses. So your senses are, you know, your sight, sound, taste, touch, smell. And then movement is literally when that baby's crying and mama goes and picks up the baby and rocks that baby back and forth. That's movement. And patterned, predictable, and rhythmic movement regulates the body and the brain, helps the body and the brain think more clearly. Then the next layer up is the limbic system, and that's where our emotions hang out. You know, how you feel, sad, mad, glad, afraid. It's in the limbic. It's also connection. So when mom is picking up that baby and rocks that baby back and forth and starts singing in that baby's ear and going shush, 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 shush in a rhythmic way, there's connection. And you'll see that baby will go, And now you like physically know the baby has moved from a state of alarm mm-hmm. to a state of connection. And then the top layer of the brain is the neocortex. And that is our cognitive reasoning ability. That's where we think clearly. But if we're in a state of alarm, we don't think clearly. Mm-hmm. If we're having an anxiety attack, we're not thinking clearly in that moment. And it's through connection with others and connection with God where there is security and predictability and rhythm that we heal. And then we can also think clearly. And what I have noticed in my own life and with the women I work with is that we can be really intellectual about scripture and read it and know it and memorize it. But then, boom, it doesn't exist when we come into a moment that we're feeling overwhelmed and afraid or anxious. Mm-hmm. And part of what's happening is that we haven't even noticed the cues going on in our body to show us that we're feeling afraid. And so I've developed a principle that I use with my online clients and the equine assisted clients that I'm living by now called ARISE, A-R-I-S-E. And the A stands for awareness. What is going on in your body? Is your chest tight? Is your breathing rapid? Is your stomach hurt? Mm-hmm. Are you cleansing your jaw? And why? What's going on? Mm-hmm. And then the R is reflect. So, you know, reflecting on how long has this been happening? Mm-hmm. Did this just happen? What was the trigger? And what am I feeling? Am I feeling afraid of rejection, of disappointment, of failure, of too much being expected of me? Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on in the feelings? And then the I is identify what is going on in our thought life. And see, up until doing the equine assisted stuff, I just went straight for the thoughts. Mm. I had dismissed those two other steps. And I just wanted to pay attention to what I was thinking and change the thinking. But my body was still living out whatever fear state I was in. And so once you get to that I of identify, it's both what am I thinking and also what does God have to say about this? And really saying, wait a minute, where is the Lord in my life right now? Where is his presence? Who can I call that can help me because I'm having trouble hearing from him myself? And then the S is that strategize. So you kind of shift from the identify into the strategize. What are my options in this moment? And then the E is engage. How am I going to move forward? And I think that oftentimes as women, we spend a lot of time really focusing on the doing it differently and getting it right. But we're not changing the foundational parts that enable us to do that.
Mm-hmm. And I love what you said about, and I'm paraphrasing, it's not exactly what you said, but essentially connection with others and with God is where we heal. And you know, we kind of hit that, with the I and arise when you're identifying where is this coming from and what is going on that is causing this, you're also saying, what does God have to say about it? And I'd love for you to talk more about that piece of letting, you know, and I'm putting it with the I and in that kind of, in that step, but you may put it somewhere else. But, you know, for the, this is all, I mean, I feel like we, if you're listening, you might just need to hit pause and process for a minute, right? And then listen for a few more minutes and press pause again, or maybe to catch up on your notes, because there's so much great stuff here that you really don't want to skip past something just to get to the end, which was another thing I was thinking as you were taking us through each letter of ARISE. So often I feel like we want to jump to moving on, you know, okay, I've got my plan and I'm going instead of really giving the time for the process. And that was one of the things that I loved about your bios when you talked about the unrushed time, and we just so rarely unrush anything. Mm-hmm. So let's apply this here. Let's not rush this. And it may be an episode that you kind of flag and you just keep coming back to it.
Yeah.
You kind of sit with God in one space and then you come back and you move to the next step and you sit with God in that space and you let him inform you there. But I do just want to make sure as a listener, you're hearing that God is a part of every step of this process. And
yes.
So don't try. And at least I know that's what you intend when you talk about this. Don't let a part of this process be between you and your own thoughts or you yeah. and your notebook and your journal. Invite God into every single step of this process. And so, Lisa, if you could kind of speak to that, like, what does that look like? Maybe you have an example.
Yep. Yeah, I do have an example because I remember the very day that I recognized all this happening in me. It was really life-changing. And it was a very simple thing on the outside. I needed to go to a field where the horses were at and bring the halter and the lead rope for the horse and get that horse and bring that horse out. And the training program that I've gone through is all about connection, how connecting with the horse, not just controlling the horse. Mm. And I noticed because of the work that I've been doing that as I approached that gate, I was feeling a tightness in my chest and I could feel my heart racing. And I decided to look down at my Apple Watch at my heart rate. And my resting heart rate is like 68. It's kind of low. But my heart rate was like 95. And I wasn't doing any exercise. I was just nervous. Mm-hmm. And the thoughts that were going through my mind is, what if the horse won't come? What if I can't catch this horse? What if another horse tries to bolt through the gate? And all these thoughts were racing through my mind. And because I suddenly became aware of this racingness of my thoughts and racingness of my body, I stopped. And I took a really deep breath. And there's this exercise called box breathing. And I did this box breathing exercise. And as I did it, I said, Lord, what's going on with me? Why does this matter so much? What do you have to say to me? Mm-hmm. Because this isn't how I want to show up for this horse or any human I'm in a relationship with. Mm-hmm. And I just felt this sense from God, this permission to go slow mm-hmm. and to wait until my heart rate came down, that I didn't have to rush and prove this, nor did I have to pretend that everything was okay when everything was not okay. And so it took an extra 5 minutes. My heart rate came down. I went in. Was able to halter that horse and walk out of that field very easily. But that moment made me then recognize how many situations relationally I am in with my husband, with my kids, with people I work with teams I'm on, with, you know, so many situations in which there's an anxiety or a stress or a worry that builds up in me and I steamroll ahead trying to prove mm-hmm. that I'm more than capable. And I dismiss God and I just need to do it myself. Mm-hmm. And recognizing that in me made me slow down in that unrushed word and just be with the Lord and say, okay, God, what do you have to say to me about this? Where is this coming from? What is the thought I have? And what is your truth? And you know, I think God can speak to us through nature. I think the Holy Spirit can speak to us in very vibrant ways. I think the Lord speaks to us through his word. And so that's where the commitment of reading scriptures every day, just like you did this morning and the Lord brought that mm-hmm. verse to your mind. Mm-hmm. That is where in those moments where you slow down, you're like, okay, what do you have to say to me, Lord? The word just becomes this three-dimensional mm-hmm. reality. And we're like, oh God, you are my Jehovah Jireh. You provide for me. Right now, I don't need to be afraid because you're with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me, right? Like it just whatever the familiar scriptures are from what you've read, they just come mm-hmm. by the work mm-hmm. of the Holy Spirit when mm-hmm. we give God space to hear them.
Mm-hmm. I just agree so much. And I love how you brought that up. Even today, I didn't know what we were going. I didn't know about how Psalm 107 would apply, but I was in the Word. And then God brought the Word up. Isn't that cool?
Yep.
Such a so wonderful cool. example. And I do want to say for the woman listening going, okay, I'm in, but how? What do I do? Where do I start? Do I start in Genesis 1? You know, how am I going to get in the Word in a way every day that God can bring it up throughout the day, throughout the situations that I face? And I did want to point you to the She Laughs Ministries Instagram account. So if you go to Instagram, you look up She Laughs Ministries. We have, and I'm going to ask Lisa, I haven't asked her yet, so now you can't say no, Lisa, but we have several guests and contributors that have been sharing their kind of go-to resources for getting in the Bible. And so there's just a lot of options for you, and you may not like them all, but there may be one that you can grab a hold of to just start getting in the Word daily. So I would encourage you to go there if you're looking for a way to do that. And then, you know, Lisa, as you were talking, there was one more verse that came to mind, and it's in Mark 6:31. And I think, like, as you were talking, you know, you talked about just pushing through, kind of plowing forward, almost just like dealing with it and getting it done. And so often that's our mentality. And I would tell you that one thing that I feel like I have connected, and this is me, it may not be everyone, but one thing I feel like I have connected with these moments like you just described, or we're anxious or we're afraid or we're fretting, and I hit this, you know, plow through and get it done mentality. I think it's because on the other end of it, I feel like when it's done, there will be rest. I connect those two things. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that's not true. Because when that's done, there will be something else. And so rest doesn't come by plowing through and, quote, getting it done, because there will only be another pressure awaiting. There will only be another demand. There will only be another situation that feels uncertain and out of control. And so instead of connecting rest with that kind of a mindset, that's where Mark 6:31 comes in. Because it's in that verse that Jesus tells his disciples, and I'm not going to quote the whole thing, I'm kind of quoting beginning and end, but he says, come away with me and let us rest. And the words that have just grabbed a hold of me are with me. Jesus says, come away with me. And I think sometimes we omit with me. And we just try to plan like a getaway, or we think I need a vacation or something, but we don't always think I need to get away with Jesus. And I love how you, in your example, it wasn't a weekend retreat. It was 5 minutes right where you were that you went away with Jesus. So beautiful. Woo! Kind of makes me want to holler.
Yeah. And it's been hundreds of those moments since where, when I, and it sounds crazy, but just noticing the way I respond to things that are, that scare me and rattle my insecurities and make me feel isolated or alone, and noticing my body's response to that, I've even had to pause and say, what's going on? God, what's going on? Why am I reacting this way? I'll give you a classic example that I'm sure a number of your listeners have utilized in their lifetime. It's cleaning. I don't like to clean. But before my mother would come over, when we lived in the same town, I would start cleaning the kitchen sink like a lunatic. And it took me years to realize the timing of those two things, but it took me another decade to realize, okay, what am I really thinking here? And is this serving me or not serving me? So from a psychology perspective, you know, I'm getting my degree in counseling. And so I'm learning a lot about how we process life in order to help others well. There's this thought called a prototypic story. And a prototypic story is the way you see the world. And we use these expressions that sound really funny, vu, va, vas, and vau. And so vu is view of others, vas is view of self, Vow is view of the world, and Vog is view of God. And all our views have been shaped by our experiences from the time we enter the earth, you know, through our mother's womb, whether that be our birth mother or our adoptive mother. How, you know, our life has been shaped by who we've been raised by and what experiences we've endured. And so what happens is we begin to tell ourselves stories. Mm-hmm. And then we have an experience. If you've ever had an experience where you're like, oh, of course that happened to me. That always happens to me. There's part of your prototypic story. And oftentimes we don't challenge those stories. We just think that is the way it is. But my challenge to you, as much as it is to myself, is, yeah, that shaped me. That was an experience I went through. That has been something that has happened. What is my part in it now? And what does God want to do in me and through me in this moment to transform my experience with Him and my purpose and place in this world?
Mm-hmm. I think those are some really great questions to write down if you're a writer. If you're not someone who writes something down, I think it might be good to write it down anyway. I'm talking to the people like me because I'm like, I'll remember that. And then I never do. So maybe you want to write it down, whether that's something you normally do or not. But I think that those are such great questions for us to ask. And my hope is that because of this conversation that we have just had, those questions will come up more often in the very best ways, because we are no longer just feeling how we feel and thinking what we think and doing what we do, but instead we're getting away with Jesus. We're resting in Him, and we're letting His word inform our story, the parts that we don't like so much and the parts that we do, the whole thing, the parts in the past, the parts now, and the parts to come. Wow, Lisa, thank you so much for all that you have shared with us today.
Oh, you're welcome. It's such a privilege.
It would. And we'll have to have you back, because something tells me there's so much more to talk about.
There's a lot.
A blessing, yes. And I just pray for those of you who have joined us today for this conversation. I pray if there's a woman on your heart that you feel like needs to hear this, go ahead and share this with her. Tell her about it. Send her the link. And I pray that as you have joined us for this conversation, that you have heard even just one thing that you can take today and apply to your life, so that today can be your best day ever. Thanks for joining us.